Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
This version says, keep asking and you will receive. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks what? Finds. And anyone who knocks on the door will be opened. Ask. Say this with me. Come on. Ask, seek, knock. Mamas are good at asking even stuff you really don't want them to receive an answer to. Amen, somebody? Amen. Anybody got a mama that just called them all day asking questions the whole time? You've answered 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times? Yes? Well, the mama that you have is probably the mama that you are. What about seeking? Your mama seek to know your stuff? You know, you're trying to keep things like kosher. You don't want her to worry. Mamas are good at asking. They're good at seeking. They're good at knocking, right? So in many ways, moms are the idols. They are those that they're the rabbits that we're trying to chase after in their understanding of how to pursue God, how to pursue relationships. What we're going to talk about today is asking and receiving. Ask and receive. I kind of want to review just a bit of what we've been talking about. Many times what we receive from God is not what we what? Ask. And the Bible says your job is to ask and you shall what?
Receive.
But it ain't always exactly what you thought you was needing. Because your imagination is limited by your experience. God's imagination is limitless. It's not bound by any time. It's past, present. It's future. It's everywhere. God's understanding of your life is bigger than your own. And so your job is in the asking and to receive what God has for you with whole heart, with whole mind, with whole soul. Seek and find. But many times what we find is not what we what?
Seek.
And that's okay. If you seek it in the name of God, when you find it and you are faithful over what God allows you to find, God will provide for you what you need, not always what you want. Because sometimes what we want can ruin what we need. Knock and the door will be opened. Well, many times the door opens to a room we didn't even know we had. There are rooms in the chamber of your heart and of your mind that you don't even know you have, but the creator of the cosmos does. And he wants to give you a glimpse of who he is in them. And he wants you to know that it was only by his power that you got there. Not by your own experience, not by your own power. So is true with this lady right here. This picture looks squished. She really wasn't that big. she was very thin. Some people didn't even know she was pregnant from the back. Well, kind of. That pregnant back was nice. And my wife and I, some of you know the story. You may not know the story. Ann's mama may not know the story. So this is for you and everybody who's heard it before. So what? And so my wife and I were hoping to have a baby for 8 years every month. Our expectations were burned to ashes. And so we finally decided that we were going to do a fertility experience. And before we can even do that, the doctor asked us to try one more time, essentially. He asked us to go home, put on some Marvin Gaye, and get it on. And I followed the doctor's orders to the T. And and I crossed the T's, dotted the I. So Dr. Feelgood asked us to come back in a month, and we did. And when we did, he asked Regina how she was doing. She said she had a bit of a stomach ache. I said, come on, let's come on with the come on. It's been 8 years. Let's get this thing going. And he said, well, you're pregnant. We did some blood work, and you're pregnant. And so we called Phoenix, Phoenix, because she rose from the ashes of our burned expectations. And everything that we asked for in a daughter, we didn't receive everything we asked for, to be honest with you. We received more. There are ways in which Phoenix exceeds our imagination for what a little girl can say, amen, what a little girl can do, amen, somebody. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16, verse 11. There's a story of a mother, and this mother pursued God with an ask through Paul, through the apostle Paul, and through the other disciples. And she got exceedingly and abundantly above anything that she can ask for, think, or imagine. Acts chapter 16. There are things that we receive from Phoenix that she does and that she says that are not things that we ask for in a daughter. Now, people say when you name your kid, be sure to know what the name means. Right? We call this girl Phoenix, which is a bird, a fiery bird that rises from ashes. Acts chapter 16, verse 11. From Troy, he put out to the sea and sailed straight up, and on the next day to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, a leading city in that district, to Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. I'm reading from a woman's prayer Bible on Mother's Day. Amen. Regina, this is yours. That's okay. Ask and ye shall receive. You don't know what you're going to receive. God has things on the Sabbath. We went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. Instead, we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Verse 14, one of those listening was a woman named Lydia. What was her name?
Lydia.
A dealer in purple cloth from the city, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and she asked if all of the members of her household could be baptized. And when they were, she asked if the disciples would consider coming to her home. And she persuaded them as such. This was a woman who had a dream for her life, and she pursued that dream like Kiana as an entrepreneur. You are a 21st century Lydia, right? It's not purple cloth, but it is regal, right? The thing that you're covering people with. You're covering them with an imagination for their passion, right? She wanted to do something with her life, and she took the matter of making what her family needed into her own hands. She was an entrepreneur, and she was just doing her job. And while she was doing her job, she intersected the divine, the Apostle Paul and the other apostles who were there hoping to find people of prayer, but they found people praying through how they pursued their passion in life. And they were all women. I want to say this too, not just because Lemonade just came out, but I've been thinking this for a long time, is that this is really a unique season for women. The way that we forged and designed, what's up, Walter Bo Whitley? I like that voice. The way we forged and designed Resurrection Sunday around the stories of women is really unique to where we really believe culture is. I believe that there is such a significant moment for women right now in human history like there's never been before. And I do not believe that women should long for what men have or have had in the way of power and prestige. I think that there is something unique to what women will have that no other human being in human history has had if women take hold of it, right? There is a unique, beautiful season for women, as it was in the Bible, in this story. And so the disciples went to this woman's house. Y'all know that this is culturally kind of counterculture. Like, you ain't supposed to receive no invitation from some woman to go to their house. What do you think the husband was like when they walked in there? Historians say that she did not have a husband, though. But they didn't know that. She was a single mom. They didn't know that. But there was something about the power with which she had, the weight of her ask, that led them to believe that they had to divinely respond to it. There is weight to an ask when an ask comes from faith. That's with a K. When it comes from faith, when it is rooted in what you truly believe. Read this with me. Ready? Read. Ask and receive. We will never receive if we don't ask. You know that, right? You will never receive anything in life if you don't ask more of life. It just won't happen, right? We don't ask in life. Hey, sorry. We don't ask in life. When we don't ask in life, we accept things as they can't be. It's sort of like when you're not asking of more of life, then all you are left to do is just accept things the way that they aren't and the way that they can't be, right? We need to be in a point of provocation. We need to be provoking more out of our lives by asking, what more does life have to offer me today? What more does life have to offer me in my job, in my relationships? We need to have the weight of the axe that Lydia had when she asked the disciples to come into her life. We need to invite more of who God is into our lives with the weight of a faithful ask. When we ask in life, I said, when we ask in life. Did you like that, baby? I said, when we ask. I said, when we ask in life, we receive what could be. My mama just walked through the door. Y'all give it up for my mama. One of the things my mom always asked me to do was to sit on the as close as I could to the teacher. My mom was a teacher. She taught for 30 years and went on to teach teachers. So she's like a career. She was like teacher of the school district. At one point, she was just so bad to the bone. And she always asked me, Marlon, sit as close as you can to the front of the classroom, lean forward, and always what? Ask questions. There's something about the ask. And when we ask in life, we receive what could be. If you are a teacher and you have prepared your lesson plan and you share your lesson for the day, and you have somebody on the front row who is asking questions about what you prepared, don't that make you feel right? Right? But if you were sitting in the back of the class and you ain't asking no questions and you can get an F on them tests, right? There were times when I should have gotten Fs on tests, but I got C's because I sat in the front of the class. I promise. There are times when teachers say, you know what, I'm gonna give you some extra credit. Because you sit in front of my class, you ask questions. There's something about the weight of an ask when it is faithfully asked that will yield more out of a classroom, more out of a relationship with the teacher, more out of your relationship with yourself, more out of your relationship with God. Ask. Ask, my friends. Why is it that we are afraid to ask for more in life? Man, turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Anybody want to read it? Daniel, do you have your Bible? No. Man, you know, we know what they call you now, right? The James Earl Jones of our community? Okay, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Here's the deal about it, is yes, God will do more than you can ask or imagine, but what happens if you never ask? What happens if you never put yourself on the line where you may look like a fool for asking for more because you'll get less than what you thought you were going to receive, which really could be more if it is asked in the name of Jesus? God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond anything that you can ever ask, but if you never ask, there's nothing to go beyond. Man, this little girl right here, we're trying to teach her. She's not really enthusiastic about performances or like being celebrated like all the time. And she's one of the best dancers like in the world. And but as you see, I had to zoom the camera. This is her recital. It was last week. It was Thursday. I had to zoom the camera in because she was on the third row. And, you know, we don't fuss about our kid being on the third row, even though she's one of the livest dancers, she does so much extra stuff. And the teacher was like, you know, Mr. Hall, I'm gonna let you know that Phoenix teaches the other students the choreography. Wow. She knows it, but she cuts up in rehearsal. The teacher gave me an example. I was like, well, what does that look like? She was like, well, what that looks like is that Phoenix will be playing in the back. She'd be like, doing her own thing, doing a nay-nay. She'll be doing a hit the quan. She'd be doing all that kind of stuff. Then teacher be like, Phoenix, come to the front and show the class. She'd be like, bam, 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 bam. We're like, okay, go to the third row. She'll be in the third row just playing. She said, Mr. Hall, we can't gamble on her. We don't know what she's going to do come performance time. We got to put her on the third row. And so where we are now is beginning to invite Phoenix to ask more of her life. That being on the third row and just being able to cut up during rehearsal is not just your highest capacity. But guess what? This is most of us, isn't it? Most of us are performing on the third row of what life has to offer us when really God has a front row experience for us to have. Far too many of us are third row imagineers, third row thinkers, third row believers when really God allowed you to be born out of the matrix of your mama's womb. For you to be first at something that only you could be first at, but you refuse to ask for more. What would happen if we asked for more from God? Well, what if I were to tell you that you are a yes and that there is no no that can deny it? So who you are is a yes to something, right? I'm gonna hit that in a couple of seconds. Anybody have a response to the question, yes? Miracles would happen. What would happen? Anybody else? Happiness, miracles. Strengthening of faith. What a miraculous thing to have ever been uttered in a room such as this. Well, why don't we ask in life? What keeps us from asking, right? What keeps us from, like, facing the no's knowing we are already a yes? Because we are waiting to be asked. We're waiting to be asked to ask in life. We're waiting to be asked to be the person who's important enough to demand more out of life. We're waiting to be asked to be the person who could be first in somebody's life, right? You are an answer to something the world has been asking for. You are God's yes to something. So here's the reality of it. No one knows to ask you for what only God knows you are the answer to. Only God knows you are the answer to something the world has been asking before the foundations of the earth. So certainly no one in the world can ask you to ask for the thing that only you are an answer to. You see what I'm saying? No. Here's the reality. We're waiting for somebody else to give us permission to be what God destined us to be. And it is your destiny to ask for more of yourself in the name of God, because the more you ask of yourself, the more you become the self God created you to be before the foundations of the earth. And that is your divine right that nobody can take away from you. You inherited that right by the blood of Jesus, who died so that you can not just have life, but ask for a more meaningful life, more abundant. You're waiting for somebody to ask you if you're valuable enough to ask for more value in your life. And no one ever will, my friends. Because can't nobody accurately ask you to be who only the creator of the cosmos has already destined you to be. So while we are waiting to be asked to be great, I love how, when I screened your film, that's what everybody said. I recently went on a tour of screening some amazing films featuring some amazing people. When I screened Jillian's film, overwhelmingly people said they loved how Jillian invited young students to be great. Nobody's going to ask you to be great because they don't know your greatness. You have to ask more of your own greatness that God has already given you. Your conception was an ask, and your birth was an answer. When you were conceived, that was the universe asking for more of what only God has provided an answer for in the world in your life. The fact that you made it, dog. You know what it took for you to really become you? Like, biologically, what it took for you to be you? I don't want to have to do that. You know what I'm saying? But it took a lot. There was a destiny to your conception. And when you were conceived, the universe asked the question. And when you were born, bam, you were the answer. You were the answer to what all of human history has been longing for. And you are an answer to a question that no one else can ask you. I had an opportunity to go to Yosemite Park, and I didn't even know there was a Yosemite. I heard of Yogi Bear. Yogi Bear lives in Yosemite Park, right? And I was like, that's really cool. And I knew that Yosemite is like a new OS system for Mac, but I didn't know anything else about it. And I got off this plane to screen a couple of films and to do this lecture. And when I got to this one space, I got off the airplane, and in the airport, they have like a little mock Yosemite Park. And I was like, this is nice. And I was asking the lady, I was like, ma'am, I went to Starbucks. I was like, what's this right here? She's like, oh, it's like a miniature Yosemite Park. I was like, oh, Yosemite Park, that's really cool. I didn't want her to know I was as dumb as I was. I was like, that's nice. I was like, where is Yosemite Park? She's like, it's just like 45 minutes away. She's like, that's what you came here for, right? I was like, no, I came to screen a couple of films. She was like, you cannot leave unless you go to Yosemite Park. I was like, well, I don't know if I'll have time to do that. She was like, whoever you're with, you should what? I was like, I'm about to ask these people to take me to Yosemite Park, However, when I got there, I did my lecture, screened the films. It went really great. I was sitting down at lunch. This dude walked up to me. He was like, hey, man, do you know what I love to do for a living? I was like, what is it you love to do? He said, I love to take people to Yosemite. I said, you do you? He said, yeah, I do. He said, in fact, National Geographic did a story about my life. He said, because I took a group up to Yosemite Park, and one of the guys that I went with died because there was an avalanche. I was like, that's a no. I'm not. That looked like a no. I ain't asking for Yosemite. I was like, he did. I was like, okay, yeah. That's a no. It's not a good advertisement for his purpose in life. Someone else's death. It's like, sir, that's a bad commercial. He's like, so after this, would you like to go? I mean, right after the dead story. He's like, would you like to go? I was like, go on a death-defying trip with you? I was like, yeah, I would. And so we went to Yosemite Park, and this is after we had climbed up this one part of the mountain. We climbed a lot of the way, like, with our hands and with our feet, and it was very dangerous. I could have really... But then after we climbed up to this point, and I'm like, oh, my God, how are we going to get back down? He's like, oh, no, we'll just take the walkway down. I was like, what? I said, we could have walked up here, man. He said, yeah, but what's the fun in that? Here's the truth. You said what? I agree now, because this would not have felt the same had I walked up. There was a sense of victory that came in the resistance of climbing that mountain. Here's the one I'm trying to tell you, is that there will be resistance to you receiving what God has destined you to receive. But once you get to the place to where his light shines on you and affirms that you are where you're supposed to be and nowhere else, you will thank God for every challenge that you have to face to get to where you are. So don't let the challenges of the past impair your capacity to ask for more of life, even if it means climbing a mountain. What? Who would we be if we live like we were God's answer to something the whole world is asking? Think about that. Like, what would your personality be if you knew you were God's answer to something the whole world, present, past, and future, has been asking? Can you think about the kind of confidence you'd have? If you could stand on your heels knowing that on those heels rests an answer that from the very first human being to the very last human being on earth, that you are an answer to a unique question that no one else can answer. Do you know what you would feel like having conversations with people? Can you imagine how that would deafen the voice that's in you that says that you are not enough? That you're not powerful? But here's the truth. You are an answer to a question that God has placed in the heart of human beings. And if you believe that, that will change and morph your whole personality. Why not simply receive it? Receive it. I can't, Marlon. Why? Because there's something else that keeps me from asking in life. Well, what is it? What we ask from others is what God has already answered. We're waiting for people to give us an answer to what God has already answered. Am I worthy of being loved? God is what? Will I be taken care of? God is your care. He's your provider. Every question you keep begging somebody else to answer for you, God is already the answer to you. He is love in your life. He is provision in your life. You need not wait for someone to affirm who you are when God has already placed that very thing you're begging for someone to give you inside of you. What would happen right now if you were to ask God in this very moment for more out of every moment in your life? And you asked him from a place of knowing that he is the answer before you even ask. What I want to do right now is I want to invite you guys into a space of creation. I want to invite you to imagine that you should ask for more because the world needs more from you. And you should stop waiting for somebody else to ask you and give you permission to become more of who you are. You should stop waiting for someone to answer the question of your value because God is the answer to any question that you have of anyone else. And you should know that the answer that you are is to a question that all of humanity has been asking before the foundations of the earth. Ask, and you shall receive. Ask, and you shall receive. Ask. Join me for a word of prayer. Dear God, we stop right now, recognizing that we have not nearly been asking. For as much as we need to be all that you've called us to be in the world, we are an answer to a question that every human being alive, past, and future will ask. And only when we become who we are, most of who we are, will we be the answer. But God, give us the courage to lean more and to ask for more. Ask for more of you, ask for more of ourselves. Forgive us, Lord God, for allowing the past to impair our capacity to imagine more towards the future. Lord, you are our King. You are our God. You are our Mother. Bring out of us more of who we are that we may bring out of the world more of what it is. Lord, we love you. Lord, we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. After the offering, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar with one question that you've been afraid to ask. Am I great? Am I powerful? Am I worthy of being loved? I want you to bring the one question that you've been afraid to ask for fear that you don't deserve an answer to that question or that you aren't the answer to that question.